A government inquiry has come to a shocking conclusion. As a country, we are not ready to respond to large-scale emergencies. It found New Zealand's emergency response system failed to protect Kiwis during extreme weather events early last year.
Cyclone Hale, the Auckland anniversary flooding, and Cyclone Gabrielle all hit in January and February 2023. The three severe weather events in a six-week period claimed 15 lives and put huge pressure on our emergency services.
The fire service has called for all the manpower it has as this rain only keeps on falling.
After hours spent stuck on the roof, help finally arrived.
In some places, the system failed completely and people weren't able to prepare or respond to the disaster around them. Public warnings and communication were non-existent or insufficient. Communities told the inquiry they felt completely let down by civil defence.
The panel was also frustrated that many of these recommendations are not new and were suggested in previous reviews from earlier weather events.
Kia ora, I'm Tom Kitchen, and on The Detail today, a big inquiry which found what we already knew. Our emergency management systems are not fit for purpose. Why are we not learning from the natural disasters that keep hitting Aotearoa? Later, we're going to talk to someone who led the National Emergency Response after the Christchurch earthquakes, and we'll find out what emergency management has to do with playing rugby. But first, to give us the basics on the latest report, here's RNZ journalist Lauren Crimp.
This is the, I think it was called the other day, as the grandmummy, I heard my colleague Phil Pennington call it, of reviews. This is the national inquiry into the what's called the North Island severe weather event. So we're talking about cyclones Hale and Gabrielle, and also, of course, the Auckland anniversary floods. The review was headed up by Sir Jerry Matiparai. He chaired the inquiry, and the idea of it was to look into what happened, what lessons can be learned to ensure that we are prepared for these types of disasters in the future, because we all know with the rise of climate change, there's so much rhetoric around the fact that these are just going to be coming at us thick and fast.
So it's a very long report, 164 pages, is that right?
Yeah, and it's pretty dense, 164 pages, and it doesn't make for easy or nice reading.
No.
It hasn't found a lot of good stuff, Tom.
So tell me, what are the key findings of the report?
It found that the emergency management system failed completely in some places, and it did not allow people to properly prepare for or respond to the disaster that was unfolding around them. Some key findings were that public warnings and communication were insufficient. We heard a lot about that in the Esk Valley, where people said, look, we weren't warned to evacuate and get out of here.
Yeah, well, one of the things that came out of this inquiry was that story about the young toddler in Esk Valley, and how there were no warnings, so she wasn't able to be saved.
Yeah, baby Ivy's parents.
If we had had an alert the night before to say to be evacuated, we would have been gone. The property loss was inevitable, but Ivy's death could have been prevented. And that hurts.
They essentially blamed the fact that they were not warned on their daughter's death, which is heartbreaking, right? And let's not forget here, this stuff is so serious. 15 people died, one remains missing. So lives are at stake here. And there was quite an interesting point the inquiry pulled out, that it said there was a striking disconnect between sort of what communities expected from civil defence and what civil defence expected from communities. There was a big mismatch there in understanding. Communities stepped up because they felt they had to. They saw a need and they got it done. Whereas civil defence said, well, no, communities are a strong part of civil defence. They should be reacting like that. But communities weren't aware that that was their role.
I mean, there must have been some silver linings, though, some good things that were mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, one of the biggest things that the inquiry pulled out at the outset was everyone here had the best of intentions. Everyone was doing the best they could with what they had. Talking about community, it said communities courageously supported each other during the unfolding crises. And I mean, there were numerous stories about how, you know, people were rescuing each other from their homes, opening up their homes to strangers, feeding people, clothing people, working day in, day out to dig out silt and all of that kind of thing. Also, the response of iwi Māori, that came out really strong and actually ended up in a recommendation that it needs to be legislated that iwi Māori are part of a civil defence response.
So, but yeah, there were 14 recommendations out of this report, right? What were the key messages from those recommendations?
First and foremost, and this is, I guess, came through the most strongly throughout that 164 pages, was the inquiry reads, put people and communities at the heart of an integrated emergency management system. So it's what we were talking about before, about how community and iwi Māori stood up and responded during these disasters. It's saying that needs to be essentially a formal layer or a formal tier of the emergency management system. So communities, especially those in rural areas that are likely to suffer the most and be cut off, are ready and know what to do in an emergency, that they have emergency hubs that are kitted out with everything that you might need when disaster strikes. So they must be included in planning and response so they know what to do.
Well, one of the big findings that I saw in the review was, even if all the recommendations were fully implemented, the inquiry still believes we wouldn't have a system that was fit for purpose.
Yeah, and look, that's quite terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, there's about 26 reports, right, into these weather events, and there are hundreds and hundreds of recommendations that have come out of it. But this inquiry says, even if you did all of that stuff, the risk reduction is really what the government needs to invest in. It gave no price tags, it gave no idea of exactly what it must do, but it said, you know, currently we are in harm's way. It says even the best emergency management system isn't going to prevent disaster striking. That needs to happen beforehand. And I guess that looks at things like managed retreat and making sure we're building in smart places and not building on floodplains and all of that kind of thing, to make sure that when disaster strikes, we aren't in harm's way.
Yeah, so it's not just reforming the civil defence emergency management side of things. It's about some of those laws around councils too, and providing the best place for people to live.
Yeah, exactly. And look, let's talk about laws, actually, if that's okay, Tom.
Sure.
Emergency Management Minister Mark Mitchell has responded to this inquiry and said, look, he's fully taken on board the fact that clearly something needs to change. Lives are at risk. Livelihoods are at risk. There is a bill that's currently before Select Committee, the Emergency Management Bill, which is set to replace the decades-old, I think it's 2002, Civil Defence Act. Mm-hmm. Labour's Kieran McInulty brought it in, but this inquiry found that it is insufficient. And so Mark Mitchell said, look, we're going to bin it and start again.
The really important work is going to be around putting together a proper fit-for-purpose, world-class emergency management legislation.
He says he's going to introduce it this term, but there's been a bit of pushback from the Labour Party and others that I've spoken to, saying, look, can we not just make amendments? It's going to take so long, surely, to chuck it all out and start again. The inquiry did find there were some good parts to it, so why don't we keep those and change the things that need to be changed? But Mark Mitchell says, no, this bill is so far away from where it needs to be that it's more efficient to start over. So he said this term. I was talking to locals who said, surely it needs to be this year. You know, this is urgent stuff. Lives are at risk. So we'll see, I guess, what he comes up with, but he has said it is urgent and it is a priority for him. There's reviews as far back as sort of 2017 into various weather events across the country, and this inquiry notes the reviews have all found the same stuff. We have not been learning. We have not been making the required changes. And I think the current draft emergency management bill was an attempt at that. But clearly after these disasters, it's found it doesn't go far enough. But, I mean, it is frustrating, and communities are frustrated that this stuff is happening time and time again. It's getting worse. People are dying. And still, we haven't made the required changes.
Now, what kind of things were talked about in previous reviews? Here's Sam Suchdaver, Newsroom's National Affairs Editor.
I think the one that was at the front of the reviewers, most recent reviewers' minds, was the 2018 review that was done into the emergency management system.
A new agency is being proposed to take over control of national emergencies. It follows a new report which calls for an overhaul of how our emergency response to disasters is carried out.
That came off the back of primarily the Kaikoura earthquake, which raised some concerns about, you know, a lack of warnings going out and this confusion around who was meant to act in which situations. But we also had the Port Hills fire in Canterbury, and again there were problems around, well, who's actually calling the shots, who's meant to be handling this. So the government of the time, Labor government, commissioned this review. In fact, it may have been the previous National government that had started it. And yeah, that raised a lot of the things that we're seeing now, and I think that comes through in the report into the Cyclone Gabrielle response and severe weather.
Yes, yeah, so what did the review back in 2018 find? What were the big key lessons that were supposed to be learned from it?
Probably the primary one, and you see echoes of it in the more recent review, was the sort of variation in capability and practice across the country, that different regions had different levels of expertise. You know, some dedicated time to train their staff, others less so. There was kind of this mismatch, I guess, between what was meant to be done at a national level, what was meant to be done at a regional level, and what was meant to be done at a local level. You know, there were other things in there that have been echoed in this recent report around the lack of a common operating platform, so to have some sort of software or setup so everyone across the country is looking at the same information. Concerns about our emergency management bunker, the centre where you have, you know, the national officials calling the shots. You know, this has been an issue for a long time. But in 2018, they said, look, it's outdated, it's not fit for purpose, you need something new. And we're, 6 years on, and you've got a new report saying, hey, remember that bunker that we... that the previous group told you to upgrade, you really need to do something about that.
Yeah, well, from what I can see, one of the key recommendations was the Ministry of Civil Defence should change its name. They have changed their name. It's a fancy new name, the National Emergency Management Agency. That seems to be one of the key things that's changed, just the name.
There was a little bit more to it than that. Certainly there was a branding issue there, I think, that they said at the time, you know, what is civil defence? Do people really know what that means? And I think there's some logic to that saying, let's make it a, you know, focus on emergency management. But in terms of the substance, I think the idea was that this new agency was meant to have more of a leadership role and be involved in training the regional groups and passing on information and expertise. One thing that came out of the 2018 review that was put into practice was these, they called them fly-in teams. I think they've got a different name now, but to have some sort of national experts who can be deployed at short notice to head into a particular region to help out the regional groups. So there are things like that have happened that have been positive, I think. But overall, if you look at this more recent report, it actually says that the National Emergency Management Agency, NEMA for short, has not really lived up to expectations. I think that there are problems in terms of its failure to actually take up that leadership role and ensure that they're sort of passing on lessons to the regional groups and the community. So, yeah, a little bit concerning. You've got an agency that's only, I think, 4 or 5 years old and is now itself found to be, you know, not fit for purpose in its current form. So I think that's something that the new government is going to have to look at very closely.
One of the things that the previous government put forward after this 2018 review was this changes in legislation. So it's called the Emergency Management Bill, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's been drafted, but now new Emergency Management Minister Mark Mitchell wants to scrap that?
Yes, yeah. So there was a degree of contentiousness about some of its recommendations. Officials expressing concerns about some elements of the legislation. It made some changes around critical infrastructure providers, so who is designated as providing critical infrastructure and what they have to do in terms of, you know, providing reports and information to the government and so on. And I think some people in those sectors were saying, you're putting a lot of red tape on us, a lot of compliance, but you're not actually giving us the funding or support to make it happen. There was also this concern around the role of iwi and Māori, and I think the minister had sort of said a while back, Mark Mitchell that is, that, you know, that was something that he wanted to look at. And the new report mentions that, but I suspect the way they're going to deal with it is by having not just iwi having a formal role, but business representatives and community representatives as well. So there was that. And I think just finally, the sense overall, when you look at what officials were saying and what's come out of this most recent review, is that The legislation kind of is tinkering. It's making smaller changes, and what seems to be the case, or what we're hearing from these experts who spoke to people and our producers report, is that we need more fundamental changes when it comes to, you know, funding and financing of the emergency response, changing the model to put community members at the heart of it. And you can't really do that with the bill as it is. So that's certainly their argument.
The only issue with that, I would imagine, would be time, and the time it takes to actually take everything out and change everything. I mean, this is one of the things that the inquiry mentioned, is we need urgent change.
Well, exactly. And if you look at that emergency management bill, that was a response to the 2018 review. Officials didn't start working on it until late 2021, I think. So there's already a 3-year lag there and never got passed. So that's 6 years on from a review. So you kind of say, well, if it's similar timelines this time around, are we looking at, what, 2030 before anything happens? So I think that's definitely a concern. We can't have that sort of those delays and that slow pace that we've had in the past, because clearly we're running into the same problems over and over, and we can't keep making the same mistakes.
Were there any other reviews? I mean, we talk about this key one in 2017, 2018, right? Were there any other reviews that, you know, informed where the government's at now?
Well, I think if you look back to probably the most significant natural disaster of recent decades, the Christchurch earthquake or Canterbury earthquake, there was a significant review that came off the back of that, which again, it covered some similar ground. It talked about that sort of wide variation in response across the country. John Hamilton, who was the Civil Defence Controller at the time, talked about it sort of, you have the All Blacks mixing with a group of junior rugby players and they're all on the field at the same time. And that kind of, I thought, was a good way of explaining that big gap, I guess, between the professionals who are employed at a central government level and the local council employees who, you know, I think do their best, but they just don't have the same resources or training or expertise.
So does John Hamilton stand by his All Blacks analogy?
Yes, arguably this will be highly critical of the NEMA people, but it's made worse. Not only have you got a mixture of grades all playing in the same game, that's about experience and training, which we know is and the reviews have shown that it's missing, inadequate. But also it's where the national controller is. You can't ref the game by long range from somewhere completely off-site. Now, I know that Gabriel caused problems for the national controller because he was covering such a large area. But for me in Christchurch, I couldn't have tried to do anything as well from Wellington as I could by being there in Christchurch. We kind of let it go here in Hawke's Bay. We needed more of NEMA in Hawke's Bay than probably Wellington Central needed.
John Hamilton has an impressive CV. He's been Chief of the Air Force and the National Director of Civil Defence, including, as we've said, being the National Controller for the Christchurch earthquake response. He's now returned to his home region of Hawke's Bay, which, of course, was battered during Cyclone Gabrielle. Remember Lauren and Sam talking about putting communities at the heart of the response? On that, here's something John thinks we've forgotten and need to relearn.
I believe because we are so thin on the ground in terms of, I'll call them uniformed, people who are dedicated to civil defence and emergency management, the readiness and the response has to start at the community level. So I come from a little place down on the east coast, an hour and a half south of Hastings, called Porongahau, isolated community of about 300 people, but depending on where you draw the lines. And it seems to me that if they were struck by a problem, and they were struck during cyclone by flooding, they are going to be able to understand their community and their situation best. They know where the vulnerable people are. They know where the weak spots are in terms of how their community operates. And they should be encouraged to form a system whereby information is gathered from the grassroots, and there's all sorts of ways you can do that in the in the Porongahau community, I suggested that that be done by road, because there's a bunch of roads which spread out from the village centre. And they report into a hub, and the hub marshals the resources that they have available in the community. So that's everything from the farmer on his tractor and the local digger operator to the marae for feeding the masses or whatever it might be. If they get overwhelmed, they report up the line to, in this case, Central Hawke's Bay District Council. And they would then should be able to marshal resources to and pump out to the fringes of a hub and spoke system to provide extra assistance. And again, further up, if one district council is overwhelmed and can't provide the support, then the regional organisation, the group as it's called, should be able to marshal additional resources to the area that's hardest hit. I don't think communities have had the encouragement or the assistance facilitation to develop their own local plans. And so there's lots of comments in the review, sadly, saying, oh, I never saw any civil defence people. Well, we're all civil defence people because we all need to take our own steps to be prepared and, in the worst case, when it happens, to respond in our own way, in a safe way. Even in Christchurch during the earthquake, there were stories of people sitting on their verandas, oh, when are you going to come and fix our place? No, hang on. You fix your own place first, and then when you run out of resources, then you come to us and we'll help you fix it up a bit more.
Can I just ask, sorry, John, what if they don't have the resources to fix it up in the first place?
That's the question that you would ask of a community and say, do you know who's well prepared? Do you know who's vulnerable to an emergency? And can you marshal the resources to help them? And as long as you can escalate the request for assistance up the chain, you'll eventually end up in Wellington. And then you get the military and you know, government departments in all sizes and shapes providing the support that's required.
So you're saying we need local plans, and there's a few of those around the country, but there's just not that consistently.
Yeah, and I think, to be brutally honest, I think in Hawke's Bay, they have not done enough to facilitate the development of local plans.
And these plans could help with a few simple issues, like where to put your community hub. John says this caused a few issues for Porongahau during Cyclone Gabrielle.
They had chosen to have it in the Memorial Hall, which the water level came up to the bottom of the floorboards, if not inside, and they had to quickly move up the road to the rugby club, which was slightly higher up the hill. So you need, and this has been widely canvassed in the reports, there's no point in setting up your hub in a threat area, and particularly for flooding, but it could equally be in an earthquake-prone building, which is not a particularly flash idea.
That's it for today. The Detail is funded by RNZ and NZ On Air. This episode was engineered by Mark Chesterman and produced by Alexia Russell. Thanks to Lauren Crimp, Sam Suchdaver and John Hamilton. I'm Tom Kitchen. Ma te wa.